Jesus founded the office of St. Peter so that it would continue down through history. We've seen without any doubt that Jesus made St. Peter the first pope. Certainly it would have been pointless for Jesus to institute all of these things in St. Peter if, as soon as Peter died just a few decades later, the office he instituted in Peter ceased to exist. Such a notion is absurd and refutes itself. It is blatantly obvious, therefore, that the office which Jesus instituted in St. Peter was to continue with successors, just like the office of Prime Minister in the Old Testament had successors, and just like the apostles led by St. Peter found a replacement for Judas in Acts 1:20. The successors to the positions of the apostles are bishops. Priests were also ordained by the bishops in order to distribute the sacraments of the church. It's important to note that in the Old Testament, spiritual authority was passed down through the laying on of hands. Likewise, in the New Testament, the power of bishops and priests is passed on or transmitted through the laying on of hands in ordination. In Deuteronomy 34:9, we see that spiritual authority was passed down through the laying on of hands in the case of Moses to Joshua. Deuteronomy 34:9, quote, "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him." End quote. In the New Testament, we see that Paul, who was not one of the original 12, establishes Timothy as the bishop of Ephesus and Titus as the bishop of Crete in order to lead the church in those places. The laying on of hands was again involved in this passing on of authority. 2 Timothy 1:6, quote, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands," end quote. Titus 1:5, quote, "For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee," end quote. Galatians 1:18 also tells us that a few years after his conversion, Paul spent 15 days with St. Peter in Jerusalem, where he was obviously more fully instructed in his ministry by the leader of the Christian church. It should also be noted that, contrary to what some think, the incident in Galatians 2:11, where St. Paul rebukes Cephas for giving a false impression to Gentile converts, does not necessarily refer to St. Peter. In Book 1, Chapter 12 of his Ecclesiastical History, Eusebius, the historian of the primitive church, quotes early church writer Clement of Alexandria to attribute the incident in Galatians 2:11 to another Cephas, who was not one of the original 12, but was one of the 70 disciples of our Lord who had the same name as St. Peter. And even if St. Paul had rebuked St. Peter himself in Galatians 2:11, it still wouldn't disprove Catholic teaching on the papacy. For the Catholic Church does not teach that a true pope cannot make mistakes or give a bad example. Rather, it teaches that a true pope is protected by Jesus Christ from teaching error when teaching on a point of faith or morals in a binding way to the universal church. So there is no proof that this was St. Peter at all whom St. Paul rebuked in Galatians 2:11. But moving back to the point about Paul's establishment of Timothy and Titus in Ephesus and Crete respectively, this proves that the hierarchy of the church continued to have successors after the original 12 apostles, and in the years after the ascension of Jesus. Thus, if there were successors to the positions of other bishops and other local churches, as the church continued and expanded its mission, certainly there were successors to the most important office of all in the church hierarchy, the office which was held by St. Peter. The proof that St. Peter was the first bishop of Rome. Some non-Catholics don't accept the Catholic position on the papacy because they don't believe that St. Peter was ever in Rome. They argue that the Bible doesn't explicitly mention that St. Peter went to Rome. It's true that the Bible doesn't explicitly state that St. Peter was in Rome, but there are countless things about the truth of the Christian religion which the Bible doesn't explicitly state. The Bible doesn't tell us how St. Paul died, but it's certain that he did. St. John also says in John 21:25 that there are countless things which Jesus did which were not written in the Bible. Thus, the fact that the Bible doesn't explicitly say something doesn't prove that it didn't happen. But we do find an allusion to Peter being in Rome in 1 Peter 5:13. In 1 Peter 5:13, St. Peter says that he is writing from Babylon. 1 Peter 5:13, quote, "The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus my son," end quote. Babylon was a code name for Rome because of Rome's notorious immoralities. Most scholars agree that Peter was certainly not in Babylon, but in Rome when writing these words in 1 Peter 5:13. Both St. Jerome and Eusebius, who was the historian of the primitive church, agree that St. Peter wrote these words in Rome. Moreover, in his epistle to the Romans, St. Paul says that he did not come to Rome at that time he was writing the epistle because he didn't want to build upon another man's foundation. Romans 15:20 and 23, quote, "And I have so preached this gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, for which cause also I was hindered very much from coming to you," end quote. Not wanting to build on another man's foundation is an indication that the church at Rome had been founded by an apostle, for it was the apostles who laid the foundations. This is, therefore, probably a subtle reference by St. Paul to St. Peter's having founded the church at Rome. For who do the writers of the early church say founded the church at Rome? As we will see, they say undoubtedly that it was St. Peter. It's also possible that St. Paul doesn't mention St. Peter by name in his epistle to the Romans, because St. Peter might have been temporarily expelled from Rome under Claudius in 49 AD. Acts 18:2 says that under Claudius all the Jews were commanded to leave Rome. Now we will look at the indisputable historical facts which prove that St. Peter went to Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire. God wanted his prime apostle to set up his bishopric in Rome, so that the city which was the capital of the world would also become the permanent capital of his church, so that the world, which called the empire which ruled it by the name of Rome, would call his church, which was to teach it the only way to salvation, by the name Roman. It's also a fact that St. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, went to Rome eventually and died there. Both St. Peter and St. Paul were martyrs in Rome under Nero in approximately 67 AD. St. Peter was crucified upside down, while St. Paul, being a Roman citizen, was beheaded. The overwhelming historical evidence for this comes from the earliest writers of the Christian Church. These earliest and most prominent writers of the Christian Church are called the Fathers of the Church. The very earliest of these Fathers of the Church are called the Apostolic Fathers because of their close connection to the Apostles. Among the Apostolic Fathers, St. Ignatius of Antioch holds a prominent place. St. Ignatius of Antioch lived from approximately the year 50 to the year 117. He was the third bishop of Antioch and was taught by the Apostle St. John. He also died heroically as a martyr. The epistles of St. Ignatius of Antioch are a staple in every collection of the writings of the Apostolic Fathers. St. Ignatius repeatedly speaks of the authority and the role of bishops in the church. This shows us that from the very earliest ages, there was no doubt that the Church of Christ had a hierarchy. Ignatius also says in unequivocal terms that the Eucharist is the actual body and blood of Jesus Christ. St. Ignatius of Antioch is also the first recorded writer to use the term, quote, "Catholic Church." In his letter to the Smyrnians, 8:2, dated approximately 107 AD, St. Ignatius writes, quote, "Wherever the bishop appears, let the congregation be present. Just as wherever Jesus Christ is, there is the Catholic Church," end quote. In Greek, the word Catholic means universal. The Catholic Church is the universal Christian Church. It's the one universal Church of Jesus Christ which was established upon Peter. Isn't it interesting that the first recorded author to use the term Catholic Church was St. Ignatius of Antioch? Acts 11:26 tells us that the term Christians was also first used at Antioch. Acts 11:26, quote, "And they conversed there in the church a whole year, and they taught a great multitude, so that at Antioch the disciples were first named Christians," end quote. Catholics and Christians are one and the same thing because the Catholic Church is the Christian Church. St. Ignatius of Antioch also had something interesting to say about Peter and Paul in Rome. In his epistle to the Romans, section 4, written approximately 110 AD, St. Ignatius writes, quote, "I do not order you as did Peter and Paul," end quote. We will come back to St. Ignatius, but here are some other citations from the Fathers of the Church which show that St. Peter, the head of the Christian Church, died in Rome as its first bishop. Tertullian, Demur Against the Heretics, 36:1, written 200 AD, says, quote, "If you come across into Asia, you have Ephesus, but if you are near to Italy, you have Rome, whence also our authority derives. How happy is that church on which the apostles poured out their whole doctrine along with their blood, where Peter endured a passion like that of the Lord," end quote. Notice that Tertullian, a very prominent writer of the early church, in 200 AD, not only indicated that Peter was in Rome, but that the ecclesiastical authority of his church derives from the Church of Rome. In other words, the church where St. Peter was, the church at Rome, had superior authority. Eusebius, the historian of the primitive church, who lived in the 3rd and 4th centuries, attests in many places to the fact that Peter was in Rome. As just one example, in Book 5, Chapter 28, Number 3 of his Ecclesiastical History, Eusebius quotes an author who states, quote, "Victor, who was the 13th bishop of Rome from Peter," end quote. Eusebius's history of the early church gives the successions of bishops of all the prominent local churches, including Rome. In 200 AD, Clement of Alexandria wrote, quote, "When Peter preached the word publicly at Rome and declared the gospel by the Spirit," end quote. This was quoted by Eusebius, Ecclesiastical History, Book 6, Chapter 14. Origen, another prominent writer of the early church, who lived from 185 to 253, wrote in his third book on Genesis, quote, "Peter, at last, having come to Rome, he was crucified head downwards," end quote. Quoted by Eusebius, Ecclesiastical History, Book 3, Chapter 1. St. Epiphanius, Bishop of Salamis, wrote in his work Panarion 27:6 in 374 AD, quote, "At Rome the first apostles and bishops were Peter and Paul, then Linus, then Cletus, then Clement, the contemporary of Peter and Paul," end quote. In his letter to Antoninus, written in 251 AD, St. Cyprian, the famous Bishop of Carthage, wrote concerning the Bishop of Rome, Fabian, quote, "The place of Fabian, which is the place of Peter," end quote. St. Optatus, who was the chief opponent of the Donatist heresy in the 4th century, and the Bishop of Milevus, wrote in the Schism of the Donatists, 2:2, in 367 AD, quote, "You cannot deny that you are aware that in the city of Rome the episcopal chair was given first to Peter, the chair in which Peter sat, the same who was head of all the apostles, the one chair in which unity is maintained by all. And anyone who would set up another chair in opposition to that single chair would, by that very fact, be a schismatic and a sinner," end quote. Notice that this father indicates that the chair of Peter, the chair of the Bishop of Rome, is the chair of authority in which the unity of the universal church is maintained. Lactantius, early church writer, wrote in The Deaths of the Persecutors, 2:5, in 320 AD, quote, "When Nero was already reigning, Peter came to Rome, where, in virtue of the performance of certain miracles which he worked, he converted many to righteousness and established a firm and steadfast temple to God," end quote. St. Augustine, a luminary of the early church, who is quoted frequently even by non-Catholics, wrote in his letter to Generosus, 400 AD, concerning the succession of bishops of the Church of Rome, quote, "If the very order of episcopal succession is to be considered, how much more surely, truly, and safely do we number them from Peter himself, to whom, as to one representing the whole church, the Lord said, 'Upon this rock I will build my church.' Peter was succeeded by Linus," end quote. Many other citations could be given to establish the undeniable historical fact that St. Peter died in Rome as a martyr and its first bishop, but now we must move to demonstrating that, from the very earliest times, the Church of Rome was recognized as the supreme church precisely because its bishops were the successors of St. Peter. The popes, the bishops of Rome, were the leaders of the Christian Church, precisely because they held the position of prime minister that was given to St. Peter and his true successors.